John, can we go back now and do the AIS proposal, and then we'll be done with that subject?
Mr. Chair, John Lott, Aquatic Section Chief. With me this afternoon, I have Will Saylor, who will be handling the actual proposal sheet for AIS rule recommendations. Before we get into the actual proposal sheet, are there specific questions regarding the presentation or AIS management in general you'd like to have us address?
Good question. Does anybody have? Secretary Hepler.
Just a chance for a comment. I take home message from the presentation is that even though we're discussing in front of a GFPP commission, talking recreational boaters or people who angle, zebra mussels can impact everybody in the state in a variety of ways. You know, we have a water processing plant potentially going to come into Fort Pierre taking water out of the Missouri there. They're going to have to pay extra money to process to make sure those zebra mussels aren't contaminating or sitting on their water processing equipment. So the message there, it impacts everybody. This is just not unique to anglers. But we also recognize where the main transport does probably come from boaters, and so that's what we focus on, boaters. But I think the letter that you sent to Governor Noem, and Governor Noem certainly is completely committed to trying to stop the spread of zebra mussels. I mean, she's made it very clear to me and the cabinet members. That prompted then these other cabinet members sitting down with us and having some very productive meetings. I wasn't emphasized so much in that presentation because I think Mike was focusing on the things that we're going to do inside of our own department. But we're wholly committed to this work with other agencies. Commissioners, I think the letter he sent was well received. And that was noticed by, you know, the governor. I did an excellent job at her PSA getting a message out, and she does excellent in those type of presentations. So that worked well that way. So part of the discussion we're having today, and we've had earlier even this morning, Mr. Chairman, is, you know, what can we do? What can other commissions do? What kind of money's involved? So, John, one of the things I know they're going to discuss, do we have adequate funding to do the things we think we can do with our boaters? And that's part of the discussion we're going to do here. The authority part, I think we're going to speak here. There's also discussion about potentially legislation to broaden this out, and that's something, you know, the administration's going to have to talk about and discuss if that's what we want to move forward or not. So that's there. So that just puts a little bit more in context. Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Yes, and I have a comment, too. I mean, the commission did write to the governor and asked her to engage and lead in a statewide effort of all stakeholders, public and private, to implement and devise and implement a plan to battle these zebra mussels and the rest of AIS issues across the state. And she responded. She responded quickly, wholeheartedly, enthusiastically, and we appreciate that very much. So she has been, is leading a statewide effort beyond game, fish, and parks, I mean, including us, but beyond us. Because as Kelly just mentioned, zebra mussels is an issue. I mean, some, you could even argue that it doesn't really affect fish. I mean, we've all learned that if we went out and tried to find scientific articles that saying that it, or documenting that these mussels affect fish, it'd be hard to find. It's not hard to find trouble that comes from mussels with regard to surface water users and what it does to water systems and pipes and clogs things up, leaves shells on shoreline that are sharp and that people, kids, cut their feet on, and the stench that comes with it. So it is a statewide problem, far more than just game fish. We do really appreciate the governor's leadership, and we've got a letter here that we're all going to sign and send to her and thank her for her leadership, and it's really gratifying to watch all that happen and all the other agencies of government engage and do the best they can. So thanks to everybody for responding to our letter. Anybody have any questions or comments before we get to the proposal?
Mr. Chairman, if I could add maybe some information to help to frame what Secretary Hepler said and that you just shared with the commission and the group here today. this certainly is a statewide issue. And what you've seen in the presentation today was the immediate response that involved, of course, a GFNP, but beginning to bring together that statewide state agency work group and work towards that message that this affects everybody, everyone from irrigators to municipal water users, and to get it where even if you're not a boater, you're an influencer to help with the change in our culture to help reduce the spread. We have the immediate response that you've seen the overview for. From here on, what you're going to see is it's a very strategic response to the current infestations we have in the state, both the communications aspect of that with people, but also the on-the-ground management. How on the ground do we slow the spread? And there is, was alluded to by Secretary Hepler. Right now, we're about at the point where we can go with regulations as a department for things our department has authorities over and things that we can do on the ground to help slow and stop the spread of zebra mussels. One thing we are discussing, we are exploring, is pursuing some additional authorities for things like mandatory inspections and decontaminations, the ability to impound a boat if it has to be decontaminated, things like law enforcement ability to stop a vessel to inspect it on the highway, that type of thing. A lot of those things are really precursors to any of the things you saw on the screen today about what's often referred to as a watercraft inspection and decontamination program. You saw on the screen also today that there's various levels of management for AIS and zebra mussels. Specifically, you have, again, what we're doing now, the current status. And again, with the current authorities that exist, I think we're doing a good job of doing what we can to slow the spread. If you move up a tier, the next tier would be pretty much doing what we're doing, but making sure in the field we have more opportunities for people to comply, to decontaminate. So there'd be some infrastructure investment there. When you get up to the decontamination and inspections for the containment approach and for the prevention approach in border waters, there you're talking beyond those authorities that would be needed. You need a lot of resources, and you have to strategically choose how you want to go about those. So beyond what we have right now in an administrative rule, there's really exploring those authorities, and there's exploring funding and partnering opportunities. You know, there on those partnering opportunities, I spoke with BOR yesterday, and they're very excited about maybe increasing our partnership for how do we prevent the spread of zebra mussels to the western BOR reservoirs within South Dakota. So there's that immediate response we had, and we shared with you a comprehensive approach where we've begun to work with other state departments. Law enforcement and other field staff have responded. There's a coordinated communications approach, again, that we'll be focusing on the entire public and changing behavior. And that was that initial response. We're going to be carrying that on into the future. It has to be a very strategic approach, though, because we are going to be limited in the resources that we have. Those have to be identified, but I would expect as we go through this year, we'll be updating you on any developments in that for how we're able to work as a state with the state agencies, with some of the other groups that you saw in the presentation for outreach and partnering and things like that.
Well, and maybe it bears repeating, I mean, there's really a role for everybody across the state to help with this. I don't know how many lakes we have, you probably know. I mean, we have a lot of them. and a lot of lake associations and local towns, chambers and whatnot that depend on those recreational activities in those lakes. So there's a role there. They can help protect their own lake. If they want to know how to do it, they can certainly contact the local game fish office. They'll get all sorts of help and assistance. And I mean, everybody, literally everybody, needs to be engaged in this battle, because that's what it is.
And that's where expanding it beyond the recreational boaters and anglers is very important. On the screen right now, there's a quick estimate for potential impact to various types of water users in the state. Mike Greiner mentioned that what we're going to be doing with this is refining it, ground truthing it, with some funds from Fish and Wildlife Service in association with the state of Kansas to get a much better idea what some of those impacts. Maybe one thing we need to do, Commissioner Jensen, that I just thought about, I need to make a note before I forget about it after I leave the table here, but we really need to be coordinating more with other state agencies. And you think about all the things that, yeah, this agency could do or that agency could do, but there's a lot of things that agencies do out there that I don't know about right now, and only by those opportunities to sit down at a table. And as an example, what I thought of was with the water rights across eastern South Dakota, how many small communities are taking surface water versus how many are taking groundwater? Who has a wastewater discharge? Who's using lagoons? Those types of things will help us identify the groups we need to be working with. But beyond the immediate response that you've seen and the fact that we're wrapping up the boating season, we're informing people along Lakes Sharp and Case this year, you'll see this development of more of a statewide approach as we move forward.
You know, and we've made reference to the chart up on the screen, but I don't think anybody's said out loud for those listening what those numbers are. I mean, those numbers are huge in terms of potential impact and damage, right?
You certainly have large impacts to a number of surface water users that are in the millions of dollars. As an example, one of the facts that we shared in the briefing materials, I think for both the commission and the governor, had to do with the retrofitting of the Bonham and Yankton water system, where their construction there may be over $1 million, and retrofitting Gavin's Point Dam to handle the impacts to its operation from zebra mussels was also well over $1 million. So you start to add those up, and there's the initial changes in infrastructure, but then the annual maintenance, and things begin to get expensive.
Yeah, and the number on the screen is a low of $33.5 million up to a high of $81 million. But we're talking a big deal.
So, Mr. Chairman, we will have more refined numbers after that study is completed.
Okay, thanks. So then, are we in a spot to go forward with what your proposal is?
Yes, and I'll turn things over to Will Saylor, our program administrator in fisheries, to assist with that. Will?
Good afternoon, Chairman, Commissioner, Secretary Clark. I have four recommendations for proposal I bring before you today. The first one.
If I could interrupt, Mr. Chair, you'd just like to do the AIS proposal right now, correct?
Okay. Be happy to do that. So the aquatic invasive species recommendation, we have 2 points to add to the regulation, which is 41-1004. As John mentioned, the reason it's limited to these is with the addition of these and what we've already done, we're running up against our authorities that the legislature has granted us, and we'll need to explore other ones, and that process has begun. So first, we want to add some species to the list of aquatic invasive species. One, the spiny water flea. They've spread from the Great Lakes to multiple waters in Minnesota. They have caused major changes in zooplankton community structure, and they complete with larval sport fish maybe consuming up to 75% of their body weight per day, and they also collect on fishing lines and impact recreational fishing and tourism. The second is ground goby. They have also spread from the Great Lakes in Illinois and Minnesota to waters in Illinois and Minnesota, leading to large declines in native fish populations. They consume smallmouth bass eggs, which leads to seasonal closures for bass. In May and June, when 50% of the smallmouth bass are usually taken, they have decreased that and affected tourism and recreation in those areas. The third I have here is white perch. They are on our South Dakota border to the south of the South Dakota border in Nebraska and Iowa. They feed heavily on walleyes, white bass, eggs, may be responsible for the collapse of walleye fishery in part of Lake Ontario, and they also have potential for competition with other sport fish. And then secondly, we want to add Lake Sharp and Francis Case to the list of designated containment waters for aquatic invasive species management in South Dakota, and that's directly related to the discovery of zebra mussels in Lake Sharp and the high probability that they are in Francis Case. With that, I'd be happy to try to answer any questions you may have, commissioners.
Any questions? I need a motion to approve the proposal for AIS Chapter 41-10-04. Second?
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? Proposal carries. Thank you.
Thank you.